Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day
246.
Which got Mike a bit giddy, didn't
it? 246.
Like 468. It'll happen.
Or 123. 789.
No, don't go any further.
Wait, welcome to day 11, 12, 13.
Hello, Jonathan.
By
Hello,
the way, we are live
Simon.
On 246, not 11, 12, 13.
Oh, Simon, how are you doing? Oh, a bit meh. Oh, well, how's everybody else doing? Even if you're a bit meh, how's everybody else doing? I hope, generally speaking, there is some improvement. Better than being hospitalised. Oh, God, yes. Don't go in there. Don't go in there. Are you being taken care of, me Mrs. Simon? I can imagine that. Hello, Anthony. How are you doing?
Let me consult my spreadsheet, Jonathan. Shall I do an autofill down to 11, 12, 13?
Go on, why not? Do it.
Just in case.
246, completely ridiculous. I know, Simon. And you know, like I said in the email, it's got that feeling of Groundhog Day. So, Mike goes to bed last night. About 15 minutes later, I thought I'll just put the news headlines on, you know, like you do, thinking it's a good idea. And it pops out. I turned the news on. It was about 5 minutes to go. And it said, newsflash, newsflash. I thought, what now? It's 2020. What now? And they came on and said, Boris has been told to self-isolate. And I thought, you are kidding me. This is like going back to April. That man, sometimes there are no words. You're supposed to self-isolate. You're supposed to wear a mask and you're supposed to be socially distanced at all times. What the hell? Here he goes again. On the other hand, have you noticed whenever things get a bit dicey, Boris gets COVID or self-isolates because of COVID?
It's like the England bag back.
Oh, that always happened here, yes. At United in the 90s, 80s and 90s, we always had a lot of players going off to the England team. And since the 70s, there had been crisis after crisis when a player went off for international duty in that they came back injured. So Alex Ferguson was no great fan of international football, except when he was Scotland manager, and then I presume he was. So when it came round to selection time for the players, it was amazing how many of them developed a, and I quote, air quote, bad back. You can't prove a bad back. You know, you can't take an x-ray and say, oh dear, look at that, you can't move. You can't prove a bad back. And literally, there was Wilco, Robbo.
Pally.
Oh, Pally never went, did he really? He always had a bad back. Funny though, they could play for United on the Saturday, develop a bad back on the Sunday, and be back on the pitch the following Saturday. It was amazing. We had the most amazing medical team, clearly. But sadly, couldn't play for England midweek. Have you worked that out yet, Mike?
I'm getting there.
He's getting
I've
there.
I've just filled in the spreadsheet.
Hello, Paul. How is it down under? Needless to say here, it's not great. Oh, I have got something that Simon will like, though, for later. Who else have we got? Deb, CQ, Deb.
The answer is the 25th of November, 2050.
Not long then, Jonathan. Jonathan will still be around then. Oh, if I was around then.
That's 30 years, isn't it? Be 83.
Would I be 83?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't be 83. Oh, well, God, I would. Well, ouch! Mind you, 83 is better than dead. So there you go, never mind. At 83, would I be running a radio station? Yeah, probably. And I probably still wouldn't have left the house.
Right, I'm not going to save this file. It'll make it big. You know, Excel struggles with lots of data. But there's your answer, Jonathan. 25th of November, 2050.
Why did you do it in Excel? Why don't you just go to Google and say, The 16th of March 2020 plus 11213 days.
Don't know.
Wouldn't that have given you the same answer?
Yeah.
Have a look. So Simon says, now we're supposed to believe that because DC has gone, it's a new start for the government, the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard. I thought that. Plus the fact he's supposed to be working from home. So actually, you know, it's no different than the rest of us. Had he ever thought of doing that before? You know, before he caught COVID and did the Durham Dash. Just an idea. You don't get to pretend that you're broadcasting. Hang on. What you're broadcasting isn't the Muppet Show. Simply failing Beacon but continuing to air the full cast and Kermit still hosting. I love that. Boris looks a bit like Beaker, have you noticed? Hmm. I know Beaker's got red hair, but apart from that, there's a big crossover there. Oh. 2050 will be here before you know it. Jonathan, I'm going to make a note of the date today, just in case it happens. We've got more avian flu up here, you know. Don't go outside, Jonathan, honestly. Oh, and Simon wants to know what day of the week it is. He's clearly putting it in his diary. 25th of November, 2050. What date is it, Mike? What day? Oh, it's a Friday. It'd be Two Show Friday and pizza night.
Pizza night?
Oh, Jonathan. I reckon Elaine would be falling asleep before me by then. That I wonder what the score will be by then. There's a thought. And Beaker's always blowing himself up. Simon, we've discovered Boris's secret. He's actually Beaker. You think he'd be careful, given he's living with Carrie and a nine-month-old baby. No, seven-month-old baby. Honestly, the guy's got no sense. Funny thing is, we all get the Muppet Show reference. Oh, yeah. In fact, he's very unkind to the Muppets, that, you know, because I'm sure they'd run the country better. They couldn't be worse.
It's time to play the music. It's time
you've
to
you've set
light
him
lights
off now. See, you've set him off. I said I had a funny story, didn't I? Oh, yes. Right, let's start with the basics. Sitting here today, minding my own business. When I come into the office, because once I get up, which is not early, but then again, I didn't get to bed till, I think it was 6:15. Right, so it wasn't early, lunchtime-ish. Lola follows, and she kind of sits there pre-barking and chunnering with herself until she gets a treat. This has become the norm. So she has her treats and she toddles off. Then I'm hearing strange noises and I'm thinking, is that Lola? And no, she was lying there quite peacefully, absolutely stuffed. Then I thought, well, is it Mike? And it was really loud noises. I thought, that's too loud to be Mike. So I'm thinking, something's going on outside. So, picks up the iPad, logs into the CCTV system. As I look out of the downstairs window, sees something's going on, decides how to get a better view from the upstairs window. these cameras point outside, obviously. So I'm looking out of them. I could actually have stood up and looked, but you know, got the CCTV, so why bother? So I honed this camera in on what was going on. And I did have to wind it back a fraction later to see the beginning of all this debacle. But basically, there was a van parked on the pavement. I'll put a picture in on Friday night, but on the pavement. And all the windows were blacked out. So it looked like a private ambulance. And it had pulled up opposite. So at this stage, I'm thinking, oh God, something must have happened opposite. And the couple are in their late 70s, aren't they? So I'm thinking to myself, you know, could well be. Plus the fact, this was the premise I was working from. We are in a national lockdown. It is my understanding, unless you are leaving the house for an essential purpose, which is defined in the rules, or work, you are staying home. So I'm thinking, why is there a van pulled up? But I thought, well, it could be a private ambulance, so you never know. Hello, Pete. I thought, The back of the van opened and three people got out in masks, dressed in black. And I'm thinking, this gets weirder by the minute. Then another one came up the road and joined them. So at that stage, there was four of them. Then the driver got out of the van. That was five of them. And they starts casing the house opposite. They looked like ninjas with medical masks
they did,
on.
Actually.
They did.
Yeah.
So they then, three of them head up the path. And I'm thinking, well, they've got to be in. The couple have got to be in. National lockdown, you know. I'm watching.
Yeah, but I've seen them go out.
Well, they've got dogs, so they could have walked the dogs or they could have been out shopping, but they shouldn't have been out for any other purposes. And I'm starting to get quite worried about the fact that these guys are casing the house. So I keeps watching on the camera thinking, you know, at some point I could always pick up my phone and dial 999 if needed. Simon really does need to get this pinned on the murder board, the MacBites murder board. So I can't quite tell whether they've rung the bell or not. Because two of them were looking through the front room window and one of them was stood at the door. But the door didn't open. So I'm thinking they're clearly not in. But they didn't disappear. Now, they do have two dogs. Now, they could have taken the dogs with them. But no one moved. They were just stood there. And they must have been stood there for at least 2-3 minutes, which seems like eternity. When finally the door opened. So I thought, well, at least they're in. And then I thought, God, maybe they'll rush them. And all five of them disappeared into the house. And I'm thinking, hang on. You're not supposed to be visiting other people's houses. Then there's the rule of six and now there's seven of you. There's two dogs in there and the guy outside. And by this stage, the back of this, what looked like a private ambulance, would have fitted a body lovely, was raised and it was in the middle of the pavement. And I'm looking at it and I just had this vision. I thought, please, God, don't let somebody come around the corner with a guide dog. Or you know, with a sight problem without a guide dog. Because the back of this van was open and it was taking up the whole of the pavement. And I thought they'd be straight in there, head first. They were in the house for probably 7-8 minutes, something like that. When eventually they popped out again. And I thought, oh, there's a ninja in a mask. And out he came. He was the lead ninja. The other ninjas followed behind very slowly, struggling with something. So I thought, I wonder what it is, dear God. You know, and given the circumstances, you're quite worried for this couple. They get out of the door, so they're on the path at this stage, and then they stop. And then they pick up whatever it is again, and they carry on. And they're struggling down the path with this thing. And as it turns sideways, I can see it's mahogany wood. And I'm thinking, oh my God, it is a coffin. Till they fully turn round and it was a piano. They had called round to buy a piano in the middle of lockdown. What is wrong with these people? Seriously, you've got the two people who live yet there. You've got the five people who turned up for the piano. Does everybody think they're exempt, that the rules just don't apply to them? Or is there some exemption in the small print that I've missed? It's okay to go pick up a piano. Words fail me. So they eventually managed to get this piano in the van, replete with three of them in the back. They couldn't get four in this time. And then they all disappeared to other cars and stuff, and eventually they disappeared. No more than 2 minutes later, a black car turned up. Now, they had a black car with them, so I'm assuming it was the same black car. And it pulled up outside the house exactly where the van had been, with its lights on, and sat there for 25 minutes doing what? I have no idea. And then they finally disappeared. When Mike came in, I said, you'll have no idea what's been going on over there. And he said, well, I heard a load of banging. I said, yeah, that would be the piano. The what? The piano. It's a long story. There are no words for the level of stupidity deployed here, are there? No words at all. You don't enjoy the government being a tribute act. They are fabulous, though, Simon. I mean, just think about it. We wouldn't have Spitty and Image back, would we, but for this government, be honest. Oh, hubby got a scare last night. Went out for an errand, comes back, sees an ambulance and fire truck in front of the house. He thinks you've fallen or was hurt. Heart beating rapidly. It was at the neighbours. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's terrifying for the poor man.
See, Johnny.
Maybe the black car was for the piano stool. The last guy out was holding something else, but I couldn't quite see what it was. Good night, Jonathan. Unbelievable. Yeah, there's never a dull moment here, though. And then Mike said, bearing in mind he's in the studio, which has got these acoustic curtains, don't move them. Once you move them, they are that heavy. Then behind that, there's...
I wasn't actually moving them. Well, I was just peeking through them.
You were peeking through them with an X-ray vision, were you?
No, I moved them very slightly.
Have you noticed to see what was Imagine he's on. In a witness box. Did the witness move the curtain? No, I didn't
yes,
move
I
the
did
curtain.
Move the curtain.
I just moved the curtain.
Yeah, not wide open.
What for? Because you know the shears behind it, which is covering up the acoustic foam. So you've got the curtain, the four panes of glass, the acoustic foam, and the shears. You're not going to see anything out there, Mike, trust me.
No, I couldn't.
No, you couldn't. Ah, but you see, is there an Amazon lady in there? I can't say the word. I can't say the A word, or it sets everybody's A lady off.
Yeah, there is.
And has it got a screen?
No, I don't think it's even on. It's behind the monitor in the corner.
Oh, no, it's turned on.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Mm. Well, if we put one in there that's got a screen, you can say, "Hey, lady, show me the front path."
Oh, right.
And she would. God, now I've got to put an A lady in there.
How
for
about
him.
A lady, show us your pipe?
She'll probably add one to your basket.
Maybe not then.
Hello, Tracy. Oh, my, what a day here. How's everybody else's day been? Let me know.
Fine. Well,
Do you know, I've just reread Jonathan's line. And I should tell him, although he's gone. I often feel like that, Jonathan. I only just read the first bit. I'm going to have to shoot people. Yes, funny that. It's funny you should mention that. That's how my day went. Shears, is that neck curtains? Yeah, neck curtains tend to be more old school. Shears are very fine and they're more like silk. But that one's got embroidered shears. Oh, that cost an arm and a leg. I said, when we were doing the studio, I said, you know, I need something to cover up this acoustic foam. And Mum said, oh, they've got this beautiful stuff in Dunelm. I get dragged into Dunelm. Now, remember, it didn't end well the last time I went in Dunelm. Toilet situation. So I goes in there and she's showing me these curtains, and they were gorgeous. But my God, that stuff's expensive, because you don't buy, the window's quite small, probably about a metre and a half, maybe less, 4 foot maybe. You need to buy more. So normally with something like shears, you have at least 1.5 or maybe 2. But I wanted it quite thick to cover up this foam. So I think I ended up with about 5 metres of the stuff. But dear God, it was like £9 a metre. And you're thinking, it's tiny and it's thin. Just like net, but not net. It's like a proper fabric, but very, very thin. Yeah, you can see through it. And this one's got embroidery across the bottom, which, you know, it is. It's gorgeous. But my God, it's expensive. So I said to her, would you like this downstairs so it matches? And she went, have you seen the price? Because the window downstairs is like 3 times as tall. I think it would have cost about £130 for a piece of sheer curtain. Absolute daylight robbery. But yes, near enough net curtains without being net. They're not the kind from the 70s with a bad rep. They're very light and people put them like over a window, a patio door type window, and then close it over. And it's so thin that you get the benefit of the breeze, but not the disadvantage of the flies and midges, because they can't get through it. But it is incredibly, incredibly thin. It's so thin and light that in the bottom edge, they'd sewn like beads of lead into it so it hung properly. It is that thin. Otherwise, it would just kind of crease up. Hence the price. Arm and a leg territory. Oh, I wonder if they've still got it at Dunelm. If they ever wanted to match it, I'm going to be totally knackered if they haven't. Not that I'm going to Dunelm anytime soon. Dunelm's closed, isn't it?
Probably. Like Carpet Right.
Oh, tell them about Carpet Right. That was a fiasco.
Carpet Right. There's two local stores of Carpet Right, which is a carpet shop,
unsurprisingly.
Were open when they shouldn't have been open, and some local government inspectors have now closed them as non-essential. So there we go. Shall I tell my story of Google Slides?
Oh, that one's funny. This is one, just like, let me explain this. This is a link to one, but it's not the one with the fancy bottom on. But you see, they call them sheer or voile panels. But yeah, they look like, in fact, that one does look, that one looks like linen. Anyway, I'll go find it while you carry on.
Right, well, I've been putting together a presentation, and it's basically about 70 photos that were sent to me by our friend Stuart, friend of the show, of previous ladies' evenings from Catenians, because on Friday night we have a virtual ladies' night with virtual ladies.
Simon's got a vision of of ladies of the night now. And I've managed to triple book myself, so that should be great fun.
So Stuart sent me all these pictures, and I dumped them into Google Slides. I don't know why I use Google Slides, like you said.
I think it's because Google Slides is the only way to present effectively in Zoom, and this is happening on Zoom. So in your mind, it's like you're like an automaton.
Yeah, because I've done it before. First of all, unlike PowerPoint, certainly on Windows, where you can just, there's a create photo album command, and it basically just, you point it to a folder, you select the images, and it just creates a bunch of slides with one photo per slide. With Keynote, you can just drag the images in. With Google Slides, no such luck. I tried to drag about five images in, and it dumped them all onto one slide.
You gotta love Google.
So I found this add-in thing, this extension. So I installed it. This is for Google Slides for making photo albums. It's free, but you've got a limit of 50 photos, unless you want to pay £2.50, and then you can have as many as you like. But no, I imported 50 photos, then I imported another 50 photos, so I did it that way. And then I had a problem where I wanted to set all the slides to be the same duration. So 5 seconds per slide. And I could do that by setting a transition, just a fade transition on all the slides. And it does let you set a timing, but I think the timing applies to the transition and not to the time that the slide is actually displayed on screen. So I got that sorted because there's a publish to web feature. And what that lets you do is it lets you create, well, it generates a URL for you. And that URL, you can then send it to anybody and you can play the slideshow. But when you set up this slideshow in this publish to web, you choose the number of seconds you want each slide to be on screen. And it's got to be the same number, the same seconds across the board. And you've got a choice of something like 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. So I chose 5 seconds per slide.
Was until they fall asleep an option?
No.
Hmm. You should add that.
No, not in that drop down. But if you were reprogramming it, there would be.
If I programmed a presentation app, it would be positively perfect in every way.
So anyway, we've also got this music as a background to these slides.
Just to add to the general humour.
And when you insert an MP3 file into Google Slides, you can have it playing across the slides, so across the whole slideshow, but you can only pick the MP3 up from Google Drive, so you can't add it from your computer. So I've got to be in Google Drive. So put in Google Drive. And then I added it to the slide and then I played this presentation and there was no audio coming through. And I did a bit of Googling and it turns out you've got to set the permissions on that file, on the MP3 file. So I set the permissions on the MP3 file to anybody with a link. And that was fine. But when you play the presentation, a little exclamation mark still pops up and says, you've got to click here because it's a file with permission settings. And that's just for the audio. So in the end, I made it a movie. I took it into PowerPoint, exported it as a movie, and there you go. But you knew I was going to do that about 20 minutes before I told you, didn't you?
Well, I went back to the beginning. Because I think when you use an app all the time, like I use Keynote, you know, and you think, oh, slides, I'll use Keynote. But, you know, Keynote might not be the right app depending on what it is you're trying to do with it. And particularly when he's in your mind, you're going to be using Zoom. Straight away, you start to think Google Slides. But there is no perfect slide application. Every one of them has got so many foibles, it's unbelievable. My biggest gripe with PowerPoint is trying to find anything. And I reminded me of that guy you used to work with, whose sole skill in training was to go into a training session and say, just right-click on it. You shouldn't have to right-click on every single, you know, on an item on a slide for every single thing you want to do. If you just want to align the text to the left or right or show the rulers, there should be an easy way to do it. And PowerPoint is very tricky with that. But if you have a presentation, this is just one example. If you have a presentation, I think it's important you know what size the slides are. I mean, not just from a perspective of is it 4:3 or widescreen. Most projectors these days, even the dirt cheap ones, are more than capable of handling high def widescreen. But from a perspective of what size do you make the assets? So if I want a really snazzy background on a slide, I'm going to do it in Affinity Designer. I need to know exactly what size it is. Keynote now wants you to make the slides 1920. No, Simon, I'm not going there. I'm not. I make the slides the right size, but Keynote wants them to be 1920 by 1080. So when I first noticed this as like, that's the new default, I'm like, oh. Because the assets I've got would need to be scaled. Now, they can be scaled. They're vector. But then you've got to fiddle every time you do it. So I thought, well, there's no harm having them 1280 by 720. Until, you know, a few months later, down the line, you get to a point and you're like, oh no, I now need to export the slides to graphics and I need them to be 4K. Well, they were never 4K in the first place. They were never even 1920 by 1080. They're 1280 by 720. If you're in Keynote, well, you're stuck with it. When you export them, that's the size they are. Now, you wouldn't necessarily know at the point that you start putting your presentation together that you're going to need to do that at the end, which I didn't in this particular instance. Then I realised I was going to need to do that. Well, it's too late to start again, isn't it, in PowerPoint? But if you export from Keynote to PowerPoint format and you open that in PowerPoint, when you come to export as images in PowerPoint, there's an option to make them any size you like. Why isn't that in Keynote? What are Apple thinking? So I say with presentation applications, Keynote's got very accessible features. And the features that I use every day are totally second nature to me. PowerPoint does stuff like, well, it doesn't do stuff. You can't drag and drop an image into the thumbnail track of slides on the left-hand side. It doesn't do that. And I'm incredulous at that. And yet, it's the one that's got the option to export to any size you like. And when it comes to creating a presentation and you want to create it in any size you like, then Google Slides is your friend. I just wish someone would just put all three together and take the best out of everything. But I've got a nasty suspicion if anybody did take them and put them together, I'd just be left with all the rubbish features. So I totally appreciate the nightmare that it is. You need to know those applications inside out to come up with a trick to make it work. In your circumstance, just because it was Zoom didn't mean Google Slides, did it?
No.
In hindsight.
True.
But then hindsight's a wonderful thing. Oh, presentations. The best one. Do you know the best one for creating slides?
No.
It was the one from Corel, which I think was called Corel Presentations.
It was called Presentations, yeah.
It was totally intuitive. It really was. Now, the other one we talked about the other night, didn't we? Smart Suite. Was it Smart Suite? Lotus Smart Suite.
Yeah, Smart Suite.
That one wasn't bad, but I remember with it, there was was this weird thing. Do you remember the year Mum decided we were having a Scrooge Christmas dinner? Well, a Christmas Carol themed Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
Not a bowl of gruel with a piece of dry bread. And I said, well, I'll put together a menu. So I did this A5 brochure. And I had the ability to print it out in colour at the time. So I think I had an early inkjet printer. And I wanted to have on the centre spread where the menu bit was. Is that the dog?
I think it's my chair.
Oh, right. I wanted to have this, like, I guess it'd be a bit of clip art, a bit of vector artwork. And you could import it. And it was fine on the left. And I just wanted to flip it. So it kind of mirrored it on the right. You couldn't flip it. But if you ungrouped all the individual little shapes and then regrouped them, then you could flip it. But when you did that, it changed the colour. It's things like that that I would have liked to have thought. That was 1994. Christmas, 1994. I would have liked to have thought by Christmas 2020, I would not have to worry about things like that. But to be honest, it's got worse. Do Carel still do Word Perfect?
I think they did. They do. We discussed this.
Really? Yeah. I mean, you never hear of it as being an option. You never see any tutorials.
We discussed this on either an After Hours or Marooned a while back.
Carel Word Perfect. Let's have a look. WordPerfect.com is still going. Good grief. Word Perfect Office Standard 2020. Black Friday sale starts early. Save 30%. Word Perfect Home and Student. Oh, I wonder where they got that name from. Word Perfect Office Professional. Let's have a look at that. The problem with Carel is they don't understand pricing. If you've been in the app store, you'll know exactly what I mean. Right, let's have a look. Compare version. No. Let's not do that. Let's just see the price. Oh, they are kidding. Mike, please tell me who is buying this.
What?
This is... Oh, here we go again. They must be making a week of it across the road.
Well,
but it's all right, Lola's not bothered.
Lockdown Duval is a week like a lockdown birthday.
Clearly.
You can't blame them.
No. Right, this is Word Perfect Office Professional 2020. It says built-in PDF forms, legal-specific tools and features, which is, I'm guessing, who they're selling it to. Extensive file compatibility, including Microsoft, and a file-based Paradox database management system.
They're all still around.
£515, but with the 30% sale, it's only, and this includes VAT, £360.
Simon's gone for a lie down.
And how much is Office? Just saying. Oh, Quattro Pro, do you remember that?
I remember Quattro Pro.
That is a spreadsheet, and it was a very good spreadsheet, to be honest, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been the first one to have multiple sheets.
It could well have been. It was. The thing is, that's the point. These were great in their day. Totally great in their day. There's presentations. So presentations is still going. And WordPerfect Lightning to collect text and images from multiple sources and reuse them by exporting a document, sending an email or posting it to a blog. Interesting. Never heard of that before. And then Paradox Database Management also includes Aftershot 3, Multicam Capture Light, Roxio Secure Burn. Interesting. But who in the right minds is paying that for one seat? Good grief, there's some pictures here of the interface. You look after yourself, Simon. Don't overdo it. Let Mrs. Simon wait on you and do not tell her I said that. Oh, let's have a look at this Word Perfect. Oh, look, it's like 1994. Called and asked for its software back. Oh, how fabulous. They don't make one for the Mac, though, do they? Oh, dear. I mean, really, it literally does look like that, doesn't it? Oh, there's a code editor. Macro Manager. You'd be in there, Mike.
Me? You're the one that wrote Word Perfect macros.
I was, actually. Yeah. I lived in WordPerfect. My university years were happily spent in WordPerfect. But you never hear of it. You never see any tutorials. I'm quite surprised it is still going. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? When they were head-to-head with Microsoft back in the day, how come it's got as bad as this? Where no one's ever heard of it anymore and it's an arm and a leg. when Office, I know you have to pay this per year, but we've just got our update for next year for £46. 45, 46 pounds. And of course, that gives you 6 terabytes of online storage as well. Well, Mike gives Mike 5 because he very generously gave 1 slot to his mother, didn't you?
You're a good boy.
Well, I wasn't using it.
Well, she had an account, didn't she? But she changed her email address and we deemed it best that she start again with OneDrive.
She doesn't know she's using my OneDrive.
No, she's not got a clue, but it doesn't matter, does it? The half of it is, you do wonder, don't you, how people... Well, who does she think's paying for it? Where does she think this is coming from?
She hasn't got a clue.
Everything's free.
She doesn't know. All she does is saves the file to the documents folder, which is local, and it gets synced up to the cloud.
This is because
I set it up that way.
Yes, this is because we had a slight incident when her computer died, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there was was that drive a backup drive or a data drive? Anyway, she gave us the machine. She gave us the drive. We decoded it.
I've got the drive down there.
And now everything's in the cloud, yeah. And she's happy, and she doesn't know any different, which is the best way to be. That is exactly, I'd love that. If I could just work without thinking, where's that file? And is it being backed up 17 ways from Sunday?
Well, I'll tell you where it isn't, iCloud.
Just don't. Me and iCloud, we're going to have a falling out, aren't we?
I thought you already had.
Well, that's true, to be honest. Does anybody enjoy using iCloud?
I've just got a bill.
What for?
iCloud.
Ah, but you only have the little one.
Me £2.49 a month storage. Just got a little Billy Doo from Apple.
There's two things that iCloud has managed to do. It backs up my iOS devices. So it's a set it and forget it. I don't have to think about it. If I've got an iPad and I haven't plugged it in for 2 weeks, because the first and second gen 12.9-inch iPads, honest to God, they can last 8 weeks without a charge. Even if I use it an hour a day, it's literally 6 to 8 weeks before it needs to be plugged in. At which point, it'll start saying this isn't backed up. So I'll plug it in anyway and back it up. So the backup to iCloud is a productivity benefit for me because I don't have to think about it. I've just set it and I will forget it. It also means I don't have to have so much storage locally wasted on you know, iOS backups. And the only other app that works seamlessly, I've only ever had one sync issue with it in the last 5 years, is Ulysses. But other than that, things like Pages, Numbers, Keynote, the worst thing is not being able to control what files are kept local and what aren't. That, without exception, is the worst issue with it. Dropbox is where it's at. I never thought I'd see the day that I said that. But it is. iCloud is a nightmare. Well, if it worked the way Apple thought it worked, it would be amazing. But sadly, it doesn't. I actually said to Mike over the weekend, there's this story, and I don't know how true it is, but I believe it to be true. Many years ago, when Steve Jobs, was it? Dot Mac was fine for what it did. And then they brought in Mobile Me. And Mobile Me, people had a whole lot of problems with it. And it is alleged that he grabbed all these, I think the top people were there and the engineers that worked on Mobile Me. And he got them into this meeting and he had one question. What is it that Mobile Me is supposed to do? And some idiot, you know, put their hand up and told him. And he said, right, so why in bleep, 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 bleep's name doesn't it do it then? I didn't really have too much of an issue with Mobile Me because the synchronisation it was trying to do with things like contacts and calendars, it did actually do. I didn't have that many issues with it. And I've been through a million iterations of moving stuff and, you know, the things like contacts, calendars and all of that. Been through that a million times. iCloud had this week about 2.5 years ago and it went down and it wouldn't synchronise the calendars. And Mike and I had no clue what we were doing. The calendar was just, your calendar was saying one thing, mine was saying another. Nothing had synchronised. There was stuff that had been deleted that had reappeared. There was stuff that had been added that had vanished. For an entire sort of 8-9 days, I said to Mike, I am through with this. I am so through with this. But obviously you think to yourself, but you know, I'm in their ecosystem and I've got an iPhone and I need it to synchronise. I need my calendars to work. But the thing was, for over a week, they weren't working. And the summer of 2018, we decided, that's it. We're going to go to Google Calendar. And I must admit, I was apprehensive, but we did, and we never looked back. I think it's had one outage, but it was something like 5:30 in the morning, so I wasn't particularly concerned about it. And it works absolutely seamlessly. Google Drive works amazingly well. But iCloud is just, why? Why? Basically, it's terrible. Just the lack of control. And it matters so much more when they're doing stupid things like saying, here's this brand new kit and it's amazing and it's fast and everything. And you look at the price of a hard drive update and think, no chance. You know, I'll stick with the minimal one. So I've got, for instance, a 512 gig hard SSD in my MacBook Air 2018. I think I did up that from a 256. But just for context, the Mac that I bought, the MacBook Air I bought in 2012, had a 256 gig hard drive. And the MacBook Air that I bought 6 years later is only double that. Normally that would be easy a terabyte, if not more. But it's so expensive to buy more storage space that you really can't. And then Apple decide what they store on your hard drive and what they don't. And I know they're supposed to free it up when you need more, but can you tell me when that happens? Because if I've got a 256 gig hard drive and I've got 150 gigs worth of stuff on it, and then iCloud decides to download more data, so I'm up to the kind of 200 mark, and then I need to record the screen. And I need to record the screen for like a whole session, 4-5 hours. It starts the recording process. And fair enough, it's recording. But at what point does it know to clear some of the iCloud stuff off it to carry on recording? And I can tell you the answer to that. It doesn't. It just puts up a message and says you're running out of space. And I'm like, well, I can't do anything about the iCloud stuff, can I? That's your job. You do it. But it doesn't. So I particularly hate the lack of management.
Tracy's not overimpressed either.
Oh, those are some lovely words, Tracy. Stingy, brain dead, opaque, unreliable, dangerous and arbitrary. It is hideous. I really do sometimes wonder, I you know, you don't have much time when people say, if Steve Jobs were still alive. But I do, you know, let my mind wander during the day and think, I wonder if iCloud would be the bag of hurt that it is today if he was here. Would he not care either? Is there some internal plan that they've got that necessitates us users being peeved with them on a regular basis? And I don't know. I really don't know. OneDrive, you had to install the client, didn't you, to get on-demand files a while back?
Yeah. I think you still do. No, you don't.
No, what am I thinking of? It was on OneDrive.
Yeah,
No, what you had, you could download the OneDrive app. And on Windows, this is probably about 4 years ago, I was literally days away from buying a Windows PC. Just because of this files on demand thing. What did we call it? I don't think we call it files on demand, did we, when we were talking about it?
No, I forgot what we called it.
Something shortcut.
Oh, yeah. Pointer files.
Pointer files. Right, basically what you would have had on Windows 3-4 years ago was you'd have your Windows install and then you'd have your file system. And obviously, if you've got Office, then you've got your OneDrive storage. You could tell it in the OneDrive app which ones you wanted local and which ones you didn't. But the ones you didn't see. So if you've got a backup folder and you want that to live in the cloud and you never want that on the, on your machine, you're fine. But what I wanted, which made much more sense to me, was to see everything that's in my OneDrive, but only have it take space if I double click it. And we call that pointer files. So you had a tiny little alias that pointed to a file in OneDrive. You double clicked it, it downloaded and you could work with it. That's exactly what you want. Anyway, that's what it had on Windows. And I said to Mike, well, look, I've got unlimited OneDrive storage and I want to use it in that way. So I contemplated it for a while and I said, I'm thinking of getting a Windows machine. Literally 2 days before I thought, yeah, that's a good day to buy it, you know, be on next month's credit card. They changed it and they ripped that out. That feature disappeared from Windows. So it never made it to the Mac and it disappeared from Windows. So I never bought that computer. But fast forward a bit and they brought it back, didn't they? So OneDrive has files on demand. And Dropbox has files on demand where you just right click on it and say, I want this local or store this only in the cloud. And I don't think you can argue really, can you, that Dropbox is probably the best cloud.
Mm.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
But it has things like file requests and stuff like that, which I don't know how on earth I would do that. Without Dropbox powering the Deacon, sending me the MASH recording, we would be at the stage of him posting his iPad through the door for me to get the file off. But because I'm able to send him, well, I've sent him one file request back in March, and he has used that religiously, if you pardon the pun, every week since. And the file just arrives, I get notified of it. I think it's a fantastic way of working. You can click the link in the email, get straight to the site, download it. Or you could work with it, have it download automatically local. It is very, very good. It's just heckishly expensive. They clearly don't want to provide a 50 or 100. Did they have a 200 gig plan? Which I thought was, you know, just enough to be usable and affordable. And they took that one away. And I think now there's only people like us who are happy to pay for more advanced features. And the features that actually swung it for us weren't even listed. I had to take a trial. I watched a video somewhere and I thought, is that still available? And I had to take a trial of the pro version to see if it was still there. And I tried it and Mike and I were like, OMG. Because the alternative, this allows us to put timed comments on a video when we're reviewing each other's work. And that feature alone, the only other option we had to do that was something like £6,000 a year. So for us, it was like a big reduction in cost, not an addition in cost. But it feels like they don't want users who only need 200 gig. Hello, Paul. Did I miss Paul arriving? And now he's off for a takeaway. Oh, what type of takeaway? If it's a Chinese, I'm there. Dropbox does make life much easier, especially as you save transferring big files between people, because the people who are sending them don't need to understand anything. And that's what's so good about it. But it's not cheap. I appreciate it. It's not cheap. I have not seen that yet, Tracy. A comparison between File Browser for Business, Goodreader and Documents. Oh, I did I? Good grief. I'm losing the plot, Paul. Not a Chinese. Oh, in that case, I can't eat anything else. So whatever it is, enjoy it. Is this file management basically on an iPad so you can get access to documents? I would say Documents is the little baby brother of PDF Expert. It can't do all PDF Expert can do, but it's free. And PDF Expert is, one, not cheap, and two, has an in-app purchase that makes your eyes bleed. It's that expensive. The features it gives you, probably you wouldn't use. So if you're using it to just look at files, documents would probably be enough. Goodreader is like documents on steroids. Goodreader has been around since iPad 1, so it's got a great pedigree to it. It's a little bit weird now because they've got this weird in-app purchase thing going on where you get extra features, but you need to in-app purchase it. Now, some of the features they're talking about were actually features that belonged to Goodreader when I bought it. So I don't need to pay the in-app purchase, but it shows you the way they're going, and you never know where you'll be at tomorrow with what they might take away as a feature and add to an in-app purchase. But in terms of accessing as many cloud services as possible, Goodreader traditionally has been the one. File Browser for Business, I got a deal on that somehow. I got File Browser and then upgraded from that to File Browser for Business. And I did that because File Browser for Business accessed more cloud services. I think it was something to do with OneDrive. Pete's back. Hello, Pete. You've got several clouds and a NAS. I reckon for you, it would probably be between File Browser and Goodreader just for accessing the data. Oh, Pete likes that tip on Google Presentations.
You're very welcome, Pete.
What you would have to consider between File Browser and Goodreader is the fact File Browser for Business is for managing the files. It is not really for working with the files. It provides the plumbing to send the files to other applications to work with. Whereas Goodreader has in it the ability to work with the files. So you can open up a PDF and you can start marking it up, etc. Which I used to do. But applications that mark up PDF on iOS are all so different in terms of compatibility and how they work. I had a book in Goodreader and I was highlighting this book. And when I came back to it, the highlights were still there. But like the old Morecambe and Wise sketch with Andre Previn, not necessarily on the pages I left them on. And I said to Mike, have you seen this? And it was like a page of highlights, but where the highlights were, sometimes there was no words under them, they're over a diagram. And somehow it had got itself confused and it had shifted the highlights to other pages. And after that, I must admit, I didn't trust it. So if I was highlighting a document, I used PDF Expert. But if what I'm doing is moving files, so say I've taken some pictures when I'm out and I want an instant backup of them, then I will use File Browser for Business. The last version was good, but this version is great. It would allow me to shift things between clouds easily and make new folders, backups, whatever I wanted to do. But if I wanted to work with one particular file, I'd have to use File Browser and send it somewhere in terms of to another app on iOS. Another way to do it is to go into the app on iOS and then pull a file in from one of the services if it can provide that. File Browser for Business says you can work on documents in place. Let's have a look. Have you already bought this? I have that on here. Didn't we do this on an After Hours ages ago, Mike?
Can't remember.
I'm going to try the system and see if we did. Right, File Browser for Business. What sort of files are you talking about? Let's have a look. Sync and backup tasks with a sync frequency option and some fixes for machine locations. Fabulous. Have you tried Share Spaces? Tap the icon to check it out. Oh, a new app. Notes and resource gathering has never been easier. Right, so there's the release notes as I go in. Right, which cloud is it you're contemplating? Right, which cloud are you? Give me a use case for what you're trying to do. What file type? Is it Word, PowerPoint? What sort of file? And what do you want to do with it? Do you want to... Which cloud service is it on? And what do you want to do with it? Why I paid for Business, it has access to Amazon S3, which we use. And it also has, I mean, pretty much it's got every cloud you could think of. This was the first time, looking at File Browser, that I had heard of pCloud. And then pCloud had this fabulous offer, and I took it, and now I've got access to all my pCloud stuff on there as well. But, I mean, it has it's a private sync. It has files that live on your iPad, which I wouldn't suggest is a good idea.
We did it in After Hours 17.
After Hours 17, good grief. Well, it's changed quite a bit since then. But if you give me a scenario, then I will actually go do it and see if it can be done. I notice, it's funny this, it's like going back in history. I've had Google Drive, OneDrive and Dropbox as my favourites. And I find that totally hysterical now. Because now I'd add Dropbox, which I didn't back then, hardly used it. Oh, bless, look, there's iCloud. Let's leave that alone, shall we? Leave it be. Oh, and you can access your local machines with it. A NAS for photos. Right, okay. Let's choose a local machine. And we'll pretend that it's a NAS. Okay, so I'm tapping it. It says it's connected, and boom, it just connects. So it's connected to a device on my network. And let's go find some photos. Okay, it doesn't like that. Why do you not like that? Is this to move them to the iPad to do something with, or edit them there? Edit a photo, basically. Right, let's see what happens when I get a photo. Oh, look at that. There's a photo. They are not in that folder. You're lying to me. 16th of November. Oh, maybe they are. Maybe I'm lying to me. Oh, cool. Is it? Right. There's an edit button at the bottom. And what editing can I do? I don't think this is going to be your kind of editing. It's got the name of it. You can star it. It's got the width and the height on it. It's got image properties. Share it, print it, mark it up, email it, or create a slideshow with it. If that's what you want to do, then you are good to go with it. But if you wanted to take it into Photos to do the edit there, I think you would actually have to select it and send it to Photos. So let's have a look. Rename, move, share files. Yeah, probably have to share the file, I would have thought. You can pass a file around from File Browser, but not particularly. The editing that's in place editing is not actually a fully fledged photo editor to edit photos with, or a fully fledged word processor. So I think the best thing to do would be to send the file to somewhere. Now, in terms of that, the other alternative is, which application would you be using? If it's Affinity Photo, Affinity Designer, I do believe in there. Let's have a look. You can set up a cloud service as a source. And edit directly. Well, they don't edit directly, do they? They load them onto the iPad and then write them back, I think. Problems. None of these things work in the way that we'd like them to work. This is why I start screaming at Apple, it's not a proper computer. Until it can do that, not a proper computer. No, it doesn't look like you can in there. Let's do a plus. Right, you can get from the clipboard, the template, open from a cloud. Oh, open from a cloud, as opposed to import from a cloud. And what cloud would this be, pray tell? Let's keep going back. Yeah, it could be any cloud, but your problem with that is it really is a cloud. It's not a NAS in your circumstance. So I don't think any of them are particularly going to do exactly what you want. It's a very, very good app. All three of those apps are very good apps. I personally would rule out documents because it's free and you never know when it's not going to be free or when they're going to change it in such a way it's useless. For pure file management, I would go for File Browser. GoodReader is as good, but it's very... The options it has are extensive, but they're very overwhelming just in long, long lists of them. But if what you want to do is have like a location for files and actually edit the file in that location without it ever being on the iPad, that you are using it in a way that you would do on a computer, the iPad isn't really designed for that. Even if it could do it, I don't think they want you to do it that way because there's too much scope for data loss, far too much. So what it wants to do is create a copy locally on the iPad and then have you transfer that back. But then obviously you've got the problem that you've got two versions, which is why I don't really do much real work on an iPad unless I absolutely have to. But GoodReader's a bit, it suffers from its history. The fact that they've never actually gone back to basics and redesigned it from the bottom up. So if you can even remember back to iPad 1, it was totally amazing on there. But GoodReader for Business, File Browser for Business, have gone back to the drawing board and completely redesigned it. And I would say it's the more modern of the two. What's the price of these things these days? As I say, they all, of course, might have a Good Friday sale, a Black Friday sale, so you never know. Have you noticed I've just moved Easter? File Browser for Business. Have a look. That's right. Stratospherics. Fabulous name. Have you seen all the companies that are using this, Mike? Makes you wonder for what, doesn't it? The United States Courts and Transport for London. Products. Yeah, come on, eventually. Prices. Oh, yes, they had that File Browser Go thing, didn't they? Automatic backup and stuff. But that was subscription. Do I actually have to click on that to get a price? Why don't people just tell you the price? Right, File Browser for Business, $12.99. I'd say at that price it's a bargain, but then if you have no use for it, then it's not a bargain, is it? But for what I do, just having access, I mean, it's less than twice the price of the other one and it will give you access to other clouds. It's the access to the other clouds. File Browser for Business is the only app that will access S3 with a nice interface. There was another app a good few years ago called Transmit. You may have heard of it. It's an FTP client. And there was an iOS version. And I was thinking, FTP on iOS. Maybe not. And then I thought, oh, hang on a minute. It would give you the ability to access data files from anywhere because the app on iOS was a data server. It was a file thing. There is a, you can have, it, when it very first started that there was iCloud, it was very clunky to say, well, I don't want to use iCloud, I don't want to use Dropbox. And you had to go through all these provider options. But as it evened itself out, Transmit became a document provider and it was virtually seamless. But unfortunately, you know, they are developers and they need to eat and they had to charge for it and people didn't want to buy it. So in the end, they had to bin it. So they had a desktop version, then they had a desktop and iOS, and now they've gone back to only having a desktop version. But File Browser for Business does everything that used to do and more besides. So I would say for $12.99, it's a good tool to have, particularly if you're trying to access clouds like pCloud or S3, because S3 has a totally different dynamic. It needs different tokens to access it. So it's more secure in a way, and it has, it's not like any other cloud that you would use. It's far more manual. But we use it because you can get, it's limitless storage. It's an elastic cloud. So we just pay for what we use. So if one month we use more than another month, then the bill will be more that month. But overall, we for us, it falls below. You know, we've done calculations and over a year, although you might have one month when you're paying like twice as much as anything else, there's probably going to be 10 months when you're paying less than half. So we use S3 for various media files. And it works out cheaper. And that's why we have File Browser, because it's one of the very few that can access S3. You like to work on your iPad if you can. Bad back means not having to lug a Mac to work or being able to work at home semi-reclined. It sounds fabulous, Tracy. I must admit, I tend to be working with more than one app at a time. So if I'm putting a presentation together, I'm not putting a presentation together in the way that if you were to see Apple think the way you put a presentation together, no. I will be having assets from Affinity Designer that I'm putting in. I'll have lots of graphics that I'm putting in. And on an iPad, I know you've got split screen now and that kind of stuff, but it's still not easy, or not as easy as it should be. It's clunky. I've got to grab that from over there and then drag it onto the screen, and then I've got to try and scale it. It would be far slower for me. When they say it's faster on an iPad, I think they mean you're in Keynote and your slides have bullets on them all. What was it? Was it 5 lines of bullets and 30 words? 5 bullets and 30 words.
Something like that.
These were golden rules years ago, but my presentations don't look like that. So it wouldn't be easier for me, but I appreciate for a lot of people it is. I would say, in terms of buying, let's see if there's some sales, because it's only 10 days away. And I think there will be. I think there will be. And don't forget the other way to save a bit of cash as well, which is to normally the last week, around the last week in November or the first 10 days of December. So there's like a window. You may well find, I don't know how that goes on in Spain, but you may well find iTunes vouchers or Apple Shop vouchers or whatever they're called these days with 10 to 15% off. So that way you can save £15 on 100 just by buying vouchers instead of having a credit card on the account. Do you know, the halcyon days years ago, they used to do 3 for 2 on £15 iTunes vouchers. Oh, it was bliss, wasn't it, Mike? The Co-op had an offer on and you could get 3 iTunes vouchers for the price of 2, £15. I mean, that's saving a third. So Mum went in, or did you go in first? But basically, it was like, well, we'll go in and we'll buy like, you know, £600-700 worth, because we use that stuff all the time. And you can pay for things like, you know, like a £200 subscription to something. If you can pay for it through the store, whoa, you've just saved a lot, 30%. So if that was 200 quid, you'd save £60. So Mike went in and cleaned them out. And then Mum went out shopping and I gets a call. And she said, you know, those Apple things that look like credit cards. I said, yes, Mum. She said, they've got more in, because obviously we'd bought them out. So she said, I'm going to buy some. How many should I buy? She ended up coming home with like, good job, she had a credit card to pay for them, wasn't it? She ended up coming home with like another 500 quid's worth. Because once they're on your account, they don't run out. So they do expire if they're not on your account. But once you've put them on your account, they don't expire. And at 30% off, oh, I was minted for years. So it's just a way to save money. And there's usually in the UK, there's Argos, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Wilco. And who's the one that does? Oh, Costco. They're the ones that usually do the deals, but not all at the same time. So the November-December promo is usually Costco. And it is £60 worth of vouchers for £45 or £48, something like that. So, I mean, it's a bit of a discount. It would take that the price of that down maybe like sort of £2 to £3. But always handy to have on your account anyway. Right, do you guys have much experience or recommendations for a colour laser printer with a duplex scan option? Thinking of looking on Black Friday. We did indeed have a colour laser printer. It wasn't duplex. What mate was that printer? Ooh, what mate was that?
No idea.
I know how I'll find out. You can tell, obviously, not used it in a while. We bought it to use on Windows. I would say laser printers are really, the colour laser printers are very good, but the colour isn't as accurate as it would be with an inkjet, which sounds weird, but it's not. And it's got a kind of sheen to it. Samsung it was. It was a Samsung. When it printed, it was amazing. But it died a couple of years back. And we didn't bother replacing it. Only really because we don't print enough. But as a printer, what impressed me with it was we'd bought it for Windows. And I thought, there's no chance this is going to work on a Mac. And it did. So it saved us doing that. So I would definitely look at a Samsung. Let's try colour laser, see if we can find one similar to the one we had. They actually look quite similar these days. Do you know, the toner's cheaper than the black and white one. Something like... hang on. The ones it's coming up with on Amazon that look very similar to ours, and I don't know if they're dual-sided, is a C430. That looks like ours. Basically, you get four toner things, which are not cheap. £152.40 for the toners. And you slot those in. Now, some of these are a lot cheaper if you go for compatible ones at like £40 to £45. That was the expense with it, the toner. There's a couple of others there, but that's the one that comes up that looks most like the one we had. And we were happy with it, very happy with it. If it was still working, we would still be using it. But for us, we just don't print enough. And if we were printing, I guess it depends on what you're doing with it. If we were printing like one thing, then we would get one. But when we are printing, we need to print, you know, 500, in which case it's quicker for us to just send it out. So we would send it off for print and it would usually arrive in a big box later. But for just one copy or, you know, half a dozen, obviously it's cheaper to have your own. You were wondering about the cost of toner because you have to have so many of them. Yeah, they sell them in I mean, obviously, if you're printing a lot of black and you've got like standard documents like in Word where they're just black text, you're then going to use more black ones. So they tend to sell the black ones separate and then they sell a kit. And the judging by the prices in here, probably I would allocate maybe sort of £50 if you wanted to change all the cartridges. But if you think about inkjets, they're pretty much that price anyway. And increasingly, the manufacturers are making it that it's chipped, so you can't use substitutes. So if you can get away with substitutes, awesome. Sometimes you can refill the toner far easier than you can refill inkjet stuff. But yeah, it is expensive. So we took the decision with our inkjets that we had originally. They need to print at least three times a week or the ink will dry up. So we just found ourselves like printing rubbish more than we were using it to print something that needed to be in colour. So when they died, we retired the inkjets and said never again. If we want a photograph printing out, which inkjets do very, very well, you've got to think about the cost of the printer, the cost of the ink and the cost of the paper. It was easier to just send it to Spielmann's. Honestly, that's what we did with it. Then we had this laser printer, and the laser printer we wouldn't particularly use for photographs because, as I say, the inkjet's far better. But if you need to replace these toners, then they are not cheap. They are not. Sometimes, I would say with ours, we use red a lot. My business colour is red. So the magenta ran out first, and that closely followed by the yellow, but the blue didn't run out as much. But I wanted to really refill them, and they don't like doing that, do they? They don't like you refilling them. So we decided when it died that if we did have a need for, you know, six copies of something where it's not worth sending it to print, we have a library round the corner. Obviously it's closed at the moment, but literally the library is less than a quarter of a mile away, and you can take your stuff in on a pen drive and they will print it for you, and it's quite cheap. It's obviously supplemented, supported by the local authority, shall we say. So we could do that with it. If we wanted a proper photograph, then we would take it, and you can literally, and we're very lucky given where we're situated, but Tesco's do it, Asda do it, Spielmann's do it. There was at one point an office shop and they did it. So we can get a photograph faster than we could probably print the thing. It is handy to have one, though, to be honest. Oh, alignment nozzles. Oh, Tracy, you're bringing back the full horror of it for me. What can I say? Inkjets are terrible. They do dry up. I'd imagine they dry up faster for you because you're in a more humid and hotter location as well. I mean, at least Manchester's cold and wet. And they did. They just dry up soon as look at them. If you print with them every day, then they're okay. But other than that, you have to run it through the cleaning mechanism thing. And it eats ink. Who was it? Was it... Keith. Keith had an inkjet, didn't he? And he
had
didn't,
loads of problems.
He had it. This was the one thing, and it was quite an expensive printer. It was way younger than the ones we'd had because it was like 20 years later. But honestly, it still wasn't great. And he was saying, I've only put these cartridges in 3 days ago. And you say, well, did it ask you to clean the nozzles? He said, yes, 17 times. That's where the ink went. It uses that to clean the nozzles, which is criminal. It is. It's criminal. Anthony's found Canons are very good. Don't seem to dry up. My first inkjet was a Canon, and it was very, very good. That was 1984 when I got that. And I got it because we had one at work, and it was, I said to my mum, this one is good. And she said, well, just get one. And that was the year that I printed these menus out for her in colour. And the Canon one lasted a long, long time. But I would never touch a HP, and I'm not overly fond of Epsons either. But HP, I would never touch a HP. They're just far too expensive. And they are very devious when it comes to repairing them. First off, they have you call a premium line, which is in Holland. And if you get to the point where you want to exercise your legal rights with them to a repair, oh, did we mention they're in Holland? So all the UK stuff rules, it doesn't apply. So to me, if you're doing business in this country, and I am in this country, then my rules apply. But they have moved themselves to a country where, yeah, whatever goes. And you're unlikely to get any support. So I did not have a good experience with them. And this premium rate number was like £3 a minute to call support. It was cheaper to buy a new printer. So the Hewlett-Packard got dumped for that reason. Epson scanners are okay, but printers I've had less use out of. You'd like a multifunction printer scanner to put in the new home office. Be good if you could find one that didn't have the nozzle problem. Brothers are very good. I do have good use out of Brother printers. Oh, do you know, mine could have been a BJ10. I'm not sure. Can we have a picture of it? Let's have a look at the BJ10. That rings a bell. Oh, no, was mine the 610? Let's have a look. You know, I wish I'd taken pictures of all this kit. If that's it, no, that wasn't the one that I had. Was it the 610? And there could have been a C in it. Not quite sure. Oh, I'll have to dig it out. I can't remember. It's so long ago. You want a laser printer? I went for the cheapest Brother double-sided laser printer I could get hold of, and I work on the principle. When the drum runs out, I'm going to need a new printer. So I don't really expect them to last that long. Brother seems to have a mind of its own on a Mac. In terms of it keeps saying that, you know, the toner needs changing. I've just put a new one in, and it's still saying the same. So the only thing we've printed since lockdown is a newsletter every week for the old lady who lives around the corner, and that's it. So our printer, normally, if you imagine we're not in lockdown and we're not printing a newsletter for her, our printer would get used like twice a year, and when it does, it's like, whoa, you expect me to print something? Good grief. Do you not know I'm an ornament? So we don't use it enough to make it worthwhile, to the point we've even said pre-lockdown, even if it's just a one-page black and white, take it round the corner. It's faster. But I hope you find one that suits you. Right, we're going to go off and have something to eat.
We are.
Excellent. Right, we will be back with you tomorrow, Tuesday. Tuesday in November could mean...
an Apple event.
No, no, no. Well, yes, it could actually, but we've done that. I don't think so. It could mean new incoming toys. We've already had some, actually, this week. And it's only Monday. And there's another one on Thursday. So I predict incoming toys this week. So hopefully you'll be here to share them with us. But for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me.
And goodnight from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.